Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Coming at you five times a week with all the Clippers news.
Damn right.
All right, so we're going to recap the first L of the scrimmages thus far in the bubble. Clips went down 102 to 106 to the Kings.
I got our number now. It's over, boys.
We're going to go ahead and not overreact to that one. But we'll talk about what we liked and what we didn't like in this performance. And then it is Twitter Tuesday. If you would ever like your question to get featured on the show, go ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips. Thank you so much to all the lovely folks who sent their questions in ahead of time. We love it. And then we got to talk the Lou Will situation. It seems that this trip to Magic City is not going away. Perk, of course, had some stuff to say about it. And
this guy.
And some former Clippers came to Lou Will's defense, which you'll love to see. So we're going to be talking all that in shavings. So stick around for all that and more.
So, yeah, the Clippers fell to the Mighty Kings, 102 to 106 in the final scrimmage game. I don't know. This one felt like, you know, like the first of all, I think the big story was Zoo played.
Yeah, definitely.
Zoo played. He also said he had COVID, which was the reason he wasn't in bubble.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had our assumptions, I guess, about that.
Yeah.
But nothing had been explicitly stated. I'm guessing that was just his preference.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say that he had COVID and was asymptomatic. He was just mostly tired for a couple of days.
Yeah, which, I mean, for someone who had COVID, not too bad, I guess. Like,
not
it was nice
bad.
To see him out there. He's healthy, he's safe, which is good. What did you like from this scrimmage?
So, overall, the field goal percentage wasn't great.
yeah.
But I did like that we took 51 threes in this game. And Doc said he would have liked to see even more.
Where is this coming from? Like, it's so new.
Well, so he kind of clarified that, you know, the Clippers are not a team that necessarily that de-incentivizes the 2-point shot. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of folks who are, you know, pretty killer in the mid range, but he said that the thing that did bother him were there was some kind of highly contested twos, and he would have liked to see those at least be attempts from three. But this number 51 is like it's pretty wild, because that's seven more attempts than the Rockets, who average more 3-point attempts than anybody per game. Yeah, they're at like the 44 number, and it's up significantly from our average of about 33 attempts.
Cool,
from
almost
three
a cool
per
dub.
Game.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So I mean, I was happy to see that. Obviously, it would have been better if shots would have actually gone down instead of just bricking. But I'll talk about some more and what we didn't like. What were you liking from this one?
To go with the shooting thing, I mean, PG just looks ready to completely just light it up from the 3-point line. Like, PG is doing that thing where you just walk on the court and make all your 3-point shots. Like, the dude is looking. I'm so excited to see PG kind of, I don't know, Kawhi, we're going to talk about what we didn't like, which is a shooting, but, you know, maybe the first half, but nothing to overreact there. But, like, I don't know. I think Paul George, we're going to maybe see Paul George get relied on a little bit in these opening bubble games just because of how good his outside shooting is right now. Hit 4 of 7. And I think his passing went underrated in this game. He only had 3 assists. But like you said, the field goal percentage was bad. He could have had a couple more assists.
Yeah, for sure, if people had knocked down shots. I was also a little bit relieved to see his handle looking a little bit better.
Yeah.
I thought in that second scrimmage, it was just a little loose. He had a couple of turnovers. I guess I had some concern that, you know, maybe he wasn't like quite up to scuff on that
yeah.
front. And especially with Pat being out, you know, we're going to need him to play make some. So
yeah,
it was good to see that kind of tightened up. I also, I got to shout out Marcus Morris. I thought that he had some really unselfish plays today. Just making solid passes to kick out to open shooters. He hit Reggie for one. I can't remember who he hit for another one, but he had 2 assists.
He hit Noah with a sick oop, and everyone was like, oh,
that was it. Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. Clippers Twitter really liked that one.
And he was, you know, the second leading scorer behind only, you know, freaking Paul George. So, you know, he's doing exactly what we need him to do. I think that he's settled into this role a little bit better than he had. Well, at least than we had seen in those games leading up to the unfortunate stoppage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like the time off, he just had time to maybe learn what's going on more, because I think that helps with learning your new role too, is just learning the offense in general. You don't have to go back onto those bad habits. Another thing, so like the starters were all pretty good in this game. Like the starters, it was like great. I think at one point they had like 47 of the 80 points we scored or something like that. But Man looked good. He took 5 shots. He hit four of them. So like, I'm not mad at that. 6 boards again. I said in the game preview, I kind of wanted to see him get some more boards because he's just big for a guard, and he did. So I like the aggressiveness. I'm obviously not really comfortable with him out there for a lot of minutes, and I don't know how many he's going to get in these bubble games. But it's nice to see him getting this run in.
Yeah, so this kind of brings me to one final point in the what we like. Out of the final huddle, Doc put in Amir Coffey. I'm not going to put Terrence really even in this conversation, but who do you want in a defense, like, let's call it when you need a defensive stop, whether it be against a second unit or third string unit or whatever. It's probably not actual clutch minutes, but maybe to end one of the quarters. Do you want Magruder or do you want Coffey? Because it seems like maybe Doc is right now leaning a little Coffey.
Man, Coffey's playing well. So I think right now I'd lean Coffey, but I think in a situation I'd want a vet, because there's also just the chance that Coffey could commit a rookie move, maybe get a hack or something like that.
Totally.
But that's also, you know, that's an old coach. That's an old man coach piece of logic. But I mean, if Coffey was playing good that game, I'd put him in, because he jumps passing lanes. Like he's a long, energetic dude who I'm assuming this is an inbounds play. Almost like a Sendarius situation. I'd maybe go Coffey. Who would you go?
I don't know, man. I keep going back and forth. I think Rodney's looked a lot better through these scrimmage games.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I don't know. Coffey just, maybe it's because it just looks like he's doing a lot on the floor.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like he's a little bit more active.
Frantic pace, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a bee. But either one of these guys, I mean, this is a great problem to have. And we don't know what these guys' minutes are going to look like in the playoff scenario, but I don't feel uncomfortable with any of these guys, or I'd maybe even throw Terrence Mann in that conversation, getting a few minutes during those 8 regular season games.
That's a good call.
Which is not how I felt coming into the scrimmage.
Well,
so
no. Yeah,
that's a big thing we like. So what didn't you like about this one?
I mean, the second unit was just not good. Except for Man. Like, Man was the only person on the second unit who I think made more than Noah hit 3, so he had him. And then I mean, I don't know, Patterson Jermichael shot horribly.
Yeah, so we talked about, I loved the attempts. I didn't love the efficiency from 3. Patterson and Jermichael combined for 2 of 10. Patterson, you know, he's going to have ups and downs. Looked great. He's looked great thus far. So I'm willing to give this one an outlier performance.
Yeah. He's not going to crush it every scrimmage.
And man, we've talked about this all season though. I do at times worry about Jermichael. Overall, he's kept his 3-point percentage. I want to say around like the 38% mark. Like, it's not awful or anything. But the situation with Jermichael at the 5, which Doc seems to still love, really only works if he's a threat from outside to me.
Yeah. If he's not really hitting, they're just going to be like, okay, like, do your thing, Jermichael. Take that shot. And then there's no one really to rebound it if it's a soft rebound.
Yeah.
That's a good call. I think the biggest thing a lot of Clippers fans didn't like is how many minutes Kawhi Leonard played.
Yeah, this was absurd to me.
Killed it in the second half. His second half was great. It looked like Kawhi was a little more.
His third quarter, George or Kawhi played in the fourth.
Yeah, thankfully.
Which I did like.
Yeah, that was good. But like the fact that Kawhi played so many minutes, it was. I mean, he got the one good quarter, which was great. But it was like, dude, take him off the floor. I wanted PG out after he made a second three. I was like, okay,
we've seen enough.
We got it. I don't know. That minutes load was kind of annoying because we play on Thursday. But I don't know. What else did you not like?
Well, so we talked about this and he looked a little out of shape.
That's Zoo's thing.
Obviously, he hasn't got to practice as much as the other guys. You know, it's his first scrimmage. And we still don't know how much even being asymptomatic could have affected his conditioning, with the COVID situation.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of willing to let that slide, but, I don't know if Doc will. Are we worried at all about, Joakim, especially just with how good he's looked cutting into Sue's minutes, which coming into the break were only around 15 minutes per game.
I think it's a definite possibility. I was pretty, you know, Zoo had, he had six boards and he had four fouls, which you love to see in 13 minutes. So we kind of got vintage Zoo. I was happy to see his presence down there. But I think
it was felt like,
it definitely was felt, but I think what Joakim does can unlock some shooting lineups more than what Zoo can do. Yeah, the minute situation for Zoo is going to be really interesting to look at on Thursday.
Definitely. And I think given the absence of Trez, I think Joakim's contribution to the offense is definitely an interesting wrinkle. Because, you know, Zoo doesn't really have that kind of passing ability at all.
Better passer than Trez, but yeah, definitely not as good as Joakim.
I don't know if he's a better passer than Trez, but
I think he's a better passer than Trez.
But yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see how those rotations end up working out, especially if Jamaica isn't shooting well. It's not worrisome, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem. So how are we feeling going into these seeding games?
I'm feeling pretty good. Doc talked a little bit about the availability for some of our guys. Shamit will be available for that Thursday game.
Oh, yeah.
He also listed Bev as a firm maybe.
Which is like, dude, I don't, what?
So we'll see what we have as far as that goes. Still, I mean, obviously, Lou is going to miss the first two seeding games. And still no official word on what's going to go down with Trez.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, I think it's the same sentiment where I'm just like, I'm excited to see what happens. I have no idea what's going to happen on Thursday. Excited to see Joakim get out there and kind of game speed to see what his conditioning looks like. I'm just feeling pretty good about going into these seeding games. Wanted to do a quick conspiracy note. So stats.nba.com and the G League, I think, have some wires crossed. I don't think this is an actual conspiracy, but Motley's been listed as a DNP coach's decision on this game and the last game, which makes absolutely no sense. And I'm not really sure why it's happening. I think it's just a clerical error. But part of my obsessiveness really hopes it gets fixed because it's very annoying to look at. but just something to keep an eye on if you are a conspiracy head. Coming back for this, we're going to be going over Twitter Tuesday questions. But first, Will, what can I do if I have a bunch of money and I don't care what happens to it?
Well, sports are back, baby.
Hell yeah.
We've been waiting for this day since March, and we've only got one thing on our mind, MyBookie. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams. And with the start of Major League Baseball, for however much longer that ends up lasting, just around the corner, there's never been a time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. So why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future. And in this case, that means basketball, hockey, football. Once again, pending the actual continuation of those sports. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager, which...
Tenor. Better use it. Who knows
how that's going to turn out. All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
All right, welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Just put so much money down on the Marlins tonight. Truly excited.
That's going to pay off. Going to pay big.
I want to thank everyone for sending their questions. You can send those to @LockedOnClips. Also, feel free to follow us. That's a good time. Let's just get right into it. @SecondGenLAC. Good to see things are going right in that family. Wonders, do you think that not having all of our pieces against the Lakers may benefit us in the playoffs if when we face them? Maybe they won't be as ready to face the whole team in the playoffs.
So I think that's definitely an interesting point. I mean, you know, we saw in the last matchup that Doc certainly wasn't tilting his playoff hand in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also kind of a nice litmus test for our depth. I think at full strength, our depth is a lot more talented than what the Lakers are putting out there, but missing potentially 2 20-point around, you know, it, I guess 18 point per game scorers.
Hey man, no one's arguing.
Plus, the drive of our team and Patrick Beverley with the, you know, such a defensive identity. I think that's an interesting litmus test to see where everybody else is at. Cause the thing is, in a 7-game series, if it does end up going that long, more than likely a lot of these guys are going to get some amount of run. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see, you know, what people like Landry Shamet can do with this opportunity, what people like Reggie can do with this opportunity, what people like Joakim and even, you know, Ivica, who has, you know, been the starter in every Lakers matchup, but like what he's able to do with that. And it also kind of forces Doc to be a little bit more experimental, both with the center rotations, missing Trez, obviously, and also with the guard rotations. I think that, while a bunch of these guys will get playing time, won't get as many minutes, it's still cool to get a look at some of these guys to see, you know, what that looks like going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of new weird wrinkles Doc maybe figures out. Like maybe there's a matchup he's truly never, like maybe Amir Coffey just somehow has someone on the Lakers number for some reason. Like we haven't ever seen anything like that. So there might be some weird matchups that we're going to get, you know, kind of added or something to Doc's
I could see Coffey shutting down Quinn Cook.
Just some random, you know what I mean? Like some random thing like that where it's like, oh, hell yeah, Coffey might be a weird Laker killer. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. I don't necessarily think it makes the Lakers like, I don't think they're going to be like, all right, this is the team we're going to prepare for the playoffs then. Like I think they're still as well prepared against us as we are against them, no matter who's out there, like in the long 100%.
Run. 100%. And I weirdly think, and this isn't just like a pride for being a Clipper thing, I weirdly think that this is like one of the least important games in these 8 games.
Oh, the just first one? Hell yeah.
it's the first game ramping back up. The Lakers are in the one seed. They're secured in the one seed.
Yeah.
If I was Vogel, which I'm clearly not, I don't know how much I don't know how much you're gonna tilt your playoff hand from a strategic standpoint. And I don't know if, you know, especially given the absences from our roster, if they're gonna do the thing where they keep one of AD or LeBron on the floor at all times. Like it seems maybe a little silly, but you know, that's just me.
I do agree it is silly, but they're a bunch of silly people over there on that side of the hall. Sky Paul asks, without Lou for the first 2 games, we still have a chance to go 7-1 or 8-0. So I actually, so I actually pulled this question to Clippers Twitter, and everyone pretty much kind of settled in the like 6-2. Like 5-3 range, but I think it's closer to 5-3. I'm like, I think it's closer to 5-3. I don't think we're going 6-2 still. Like, I think it's still 5-3.
I mean, we just don't have to go that hard.
8-0, I'd be like, what the fuck are we doing?
and I could see maybe some of the later, actually, I don't even know, given the matchups. I just don't know the minute load that we're, I just doubt we're see Kawhi at higher than like a 25 minute threshold, to be perfectly honest.
Like say you win the first seven and then the eighth game gets there and they're like, all right, same minutes load for everybody. Let's get this done.
if we win seven games, which is not going to happen leading up to the eighth game, I think George and Kawhi both sit.
Yeah, I hope so. What are you going to do if we go 8-0?
I gotta be honest, I would not even be that psyched. Like I honestly, I'd say, what's the point?
I'd be like, we're gassed. I'd just be freaked out.
What truly, what's the point?
I'd be like, we're still the two seed, now we're just tired. What was the point of this? Step Back Tree wants to know, we kind of talked about this in the first segment, if Joakim has shown enough to get rotation minutes.
I'm a firm yes on this.
I hope he gets them.
Yeah, I think that his passing has looked great. His defensive ability obviously is a little bit tied to his athleticism, which is, you know, lower than it was. But especially, you know, given the absence of Trez, we have to see him in rotation minutes. Yeah. And I think, you know, getting a look at what he looks like in an actual NBA game, not a scrimmage, will further determine that. But I mean, what I've seen, I think he's definitely deserving of, you know, 5 to 8 minutes, you know, probably in regular rotation.
I think Joseph Raya Ward had the tweet where he was like, a co-host of the Clipset pod, where he was like, man, Joakim's going to play the shit out of those 8 minutes in the playoffs or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's a perfect way to say it. Like, he's going to come in and be such, you know, he's going to be like a cloud of gnats for the other team. It's just going to be annoying for those 8 minutes that he's in there.
Yeah, definitely. And we keep harping on it, but like his passing has just been insane.
Yeah. He also does this thing I like when he checks in, like when he does a check ball from behind half court, he'll like pass it in and then he'll do this kind of like dickish / cocky kind of skip walk behind the point guard as they take the ball up, which I could not be more of a fan of, as someone who has made their bones as an annoying defender in high school sports. That's a classic move. Chenny John with another heater of a question.
Shout out Chenny John.
Dude, this dude always has good ones. Outside of Lou Will, which Clipper is likely to have a menu / drink item named after him and for what? We have Trez's breads, Leonard's licorice, Jamichael's falafel, which is already my favorite because it doesn't rhyme at all, and I love falafel. Magruder's shooters, and then
is that like an oyster shooter or like a shot of alcohol?
Let's go oysters, dude. Okay, and then Mon's flan or man's flan because his man, last name's man.
Well, maybe you pronounce it Midwest and you say man's flan. I'd like to throw one.
I'll take a man's flan.
Avitz's pizza.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, it's just, it could be either a great frozen food product.
Dude, Avitz's pizza is a bestseller overseas.
Or it could be you could go fancy with it. You could go like a California pizza kitchen style, and it's a pretzel crust, of course.
I think Avitz's pizza is a plain cheese pizza, frozen, no sauce.
No, he's got sauce.
All right, so I like Avitz's pizza a lot. I think Jamichael's falafel is good because I can see...
I don't get it.
I don't either, but for some reason, I can perfectly picture Jamichael Green doing like throwing the falafel in the air and then catching it in the wrap like they do.
Yeah.
That'd be a good time. Man's flan in the Midwest would be really good, though, too.
Yeah, I think that one's great. I like Trez breads, too, because... you know, you could go a lot of ways with it. Maybe it's your regular bakery bread. Maybe it's sweetbreads, you know, the weird meat.
Have you ever had sweetbreads?
I have, yeah.
They're phenomenal. Man, shout out Chenny John. I want some Magruder's oyster shooters right now.
How do you feel about oyster shooters? I love oysters, but I'm an oyster on the half shell guy. I'm not really a shooter.
No, I'm a shell guy. I like to, you know, I really like to honor the animal as I'm eating it. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Lou Will versus Perk.
All right, so arguably the biggest storyline in Clippers news today was
weirdly
Kendrick Perkins going at Lou William for his now very famed Magic City lunch.
Yeah, so Perk basically said that Zion showed more maturity than Lou Will. He's like, a rookie showed more maturity than a vet. And then Lou Will quoted the clip and said, 15 years in this business and the most dirt you have on my name is stopping to get hot wings during a pandemic. Perk, shut up and stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me too. Damn. And then Bev, Trez, Roman, Sind all came to Lou's defense. This is so great because I hope this is starting. I saw a tweet that said Kendrick Perkins is the DJ Academics of the NBA.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
I can't remember who found it, but if you find that tweet, please like it. And I hope this is the start of other players being like, yeah, this guy's a complete moron.
So,
and it's disrespectful because Lou was there for a funeral.
I feel like Perk has been disrespectful to the Clippers for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's negging us, which does work. I got to be honest. It's worked anytime I've been nagging a Clippers player. It seems like they're great. We most recently saw it with Terrence Mann, but yeah.
You're really in that guy's head.
I'm just saying, I mean, obviously they haven't heard me, but just putting it out in the universe.
Yeah. The energy. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of hope this stops it because the thing that sucks is that it's Kendrick Perkins, so he's definitely going to say something about it. And I don't know. I love that Lou is stepping up so hard to be like, stop saying it's just TV when you run into me. Like, that's the thing with with a lot of these takes where it's like these former players where it's like, dude, you weren't in the league that long ago. Like, we still all see each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're all at the same functions. And you like to pretend you're part of this, you know, the NBA player, you know, club, which you are as a former player, but like, you say such egregious shit.
Yeah.
About
is Oluwakandi still part of the player club?
I hope Oluwakandi pulls up on Perkins. Oluwakandi's a very successful investment banker. Oluwakandi could like buy the jump, I think, and just shut it down.
I hope he still gets dapped up when I think of it as being like sort of like the airports where there's certain lounges for certain credit card members. And that's what I'm thinking about in the players lounge. And I very much hope Oluwakandi is still persona grata there.
They're like, we love you, Oluwakandi. You had such a good workout. And I don't know. I like all the current and former Clippers coming to defend him. Lou then tweeted out, he was like, but again, I was here for a funeral who was a man who was a giant in my life. Like, let's make it about that kind of thing.
It's been wild. Sorry to interrupt. But
no, you're good.
It's been wild that hasn't been brought up. And I think that it's so stupid that it's been turned into this thing that like he left the bubble deceptively to go to a strip club, which can we point out too that the strip club part isn't even open of Magic City. Yeah. It's literally just the kitchen.
It's and only yes, food.
You can get drinks there. Fine. Yes, you can get drinks there. But like, I don't know, man. I feel like this whole thing got blown out of proportion in a way that was kind of unnecessary.
They're making it seem like he literally left the bubble to go get wings and then come back.
Yes.
And the thing that's crazy too is that Lou Will outlined the trip. He was like, yeah, I went to the funeral, and then I went to Magic City, and then I went and did the other thing, like to the NBA investigators or whatever. Like at no point has Lou been Lou's Lou. He's not going to be weird.
No, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that I think that he would have been straightforward with the league, even if the Harlow pick and the DJ pick had not surfaced.
Yeah. I mean, they would have been like, oh, is that a Magic City wings box? You'd be like,
And I think what's unfortunate too is that we saw this pick and people jumped to their own conclusions before Lou ever even got a chance to speak on this. Whereas, you know, if we had heard about it later via, you know, Lou himself or the NBA, I do think reactions maybe would have been a little different.
Yeah, I would have liked a Woj bomb about this. I would have liked Woj to have been like...
He was still banned at the time.
Oh, damn. I wish Woj would have been there.
or suspended, whatever he was.
Yeah, banned. I think he was shadow banned. They doxed Woj.
He was put in the shadow realm.
Yeah. Anything else in shavings?
No, that's it. I mean, shout out Rome, though, and shout out Sindarius. Man, I got to be honest. I miss those dudes.
Yeah. Zoo came to his defense, too, in the post game. He was like, he's been a vet. I played with him when I was on the Lakers. Like, he's one of the best vets I've ever had. Yeah, I miss Roman Sin. Sin was a great locker room dude. That wraps it up for Locked On Clips on Wednesday's episode. Just kind of a vibe check before the first seeding game against the Clippers or against the Lakers. We are always battling ourselves as these things go. hopefully some Trez updates. Still a little shaky on those.
What's the update? Because you know I don't have Instagram. What's the update on his Instagram? What's going on there?
I hadn't seen anything recently today to lead me to believe that he was on his way to the bubble.
Gotcha.
That tweet that post he had the other day was kind of misleading, I would say. I was pretty bummed about that. But no, nothing crazy today about him coming back from the bubble. So he'll post something probably very late in the middle of the night. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we want to thank you guys so much for listening. We've made it. Basketball starts 2 days after you listen to this.
Thank you for being a Clip.
Exactly. Will, where can these fantastic listeners find us?
You can check us out on iTunes. Please, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. It really means a lot to us. It's huge for the show and the future of the show and growth of the show. Leave a rating and review if you haven't already. Once again, it's huge for the future of the show and the growth of the show. We're also on Spotify. Another great way to listen if you're not a Apple Podcast person if you're an Android fam, which, you know, we still love the Android fam.
Will just gave a peace sign for no reason. Like he was talking to someone from another country.
You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Hell yeah. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.